This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
Let's go,
man. I'm feeling great.
I'm doing great.
Happy Monday to you, boys and girls. One question only. How do you feel?
Well, I feel good and I'm doing well.
Hey, that's all that really matters. And we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans studios. Home is so much more than a house. It's the home of your dreams. And for 30 years, they've been making it better. Rocket Mortgage. Push button. Get mortgage. Coming up this hour, Will Brinson's going to join us here on the show. Senior NFL writer for CBSSports.com. We have done so much NFL already today. We will continue. Antonio Brown over the weekend tweeting that he's done playing football. He's aggravated, apparently, because he had to give away, I guess, the $40 million guaranteed between the Raiders contract and the Patriots contract, and he doesn't think that's fair. He tweeted out a picture of Shannon Sharp and a story about Shannon Sharp being accused of sexual assault and saying this guy's still on TV. He tweeted out a news story about Big Ben Roethlisberger. He tweeted out a story about, or at least tweeted about, Robert Kraft with the Kraft work down in West Palm, calling out the hypocrisy of this. Now, Antonio Brown deleted those tweets, but the damage had been done. And the question is, does Antonio Brown ever work in the NFL again? I think he does. I think that there is always, unfortunately, going to be a market for a wildly talented player, even one as problematic and self-destructive as Antonio Brown. I think if Antonio Brown and Drew Rosenhaus put AB back in the open market, there are going to be takers. Now, of course, at this point in time, no team would expect Antonio Brown to play nice for very long, but every team is looking for a player of Antonio Brown's ability, and honestly, most coaches and GMs would put serial killers on their teams as long as it helped them win football games. Witness Aaron Hernandez. So, I do think that there's actually going to be jobs available for Antonio Brown. It would be bare minimum, veteran minimum salary with incentives. I don't think you would ever give guaranteed money to Antonio Brown in any way, shape, or form. But Drew Rosenhaus, whatever you want to believe from him, already said that there were multiple teams interested in Antonio Brown right now. If I were the NFL, I would put him on this exempt list and just take him out of the fray, so that this doesn't become a will-he-won't-he play for the rest of the season. And if they can do it to Colin Kaepernick, they can do it to Antonio Brown. I would take him out of this because this is just such a nightmare. And he is obviously not right. Now, I think there's probably a part of this that the commissioner's exemption list allows a player, I believe, to get paid while he's on it. And I think they would be worried about putting a free agent on it, preventing him from working again, and be worried about some type of labor law or legality or the CBA or the NFLPA coming after them in court about preventing a guy out of a job from being in getting paid. But they can easily tell the 32 teams, hey, no AB in 2019. We don't need this right now. I don't know if Antonio Brown, though, ever plays in the NFL. This is two different things. Do I think he would have the opportunity? Yeah. Do I think a year from now or in the off season, a team brings him in, yeah, I think that's in play. I think even this year, a team might bring him in for a week or two to see. Because all of these teams will consistently rationalize, well, we don't know if he's guilty yet. We don't know if this is a money grab by her. We can take away his phone. You know, there's a million different ways that they can rationalize this. I don't know if Antonio Brown's ever going to be well enough mentally to play. What I mean by that is he was never going to have a more perfect situation than he just had in New England. He had punted away $30 million just by simply not being on the Raiders roster week number one, essentially. He had punted that away. And he had landed in a place where he got $10 million and a $15 million contract. And so, boy, that's a nice soft landing spot, having shot your way out of Oakland. And if Antonio Brown wanted a winning situation, he wanted to play with a Hall of Fame quarterback, he wanted to win a Super Bowl, he wanted to be part of the good times of football, not the bad times, which is losing, and he wanted to be protected from the media, you'll never get a better situation to do all of that than New England. I mean, after his only game there, they took off the nameplate from his locker and whisked him out of the locker room without him even seeing anybody. What you saw, you did not see. It's incredible. It's like a Harry Houdini movie. What? A wide receiver named Antonio Brown, you say? No. Not here. You'll never get a better situation. Ever. Ever, ever, ever. So if AB couldn't make it more than a week in New England, I don't think he can make it more than a week anywhere. He has all types of impulse control problems. He may be dealing with mental illness. He may be dealing with CTE. And he's not very bright. You know, people point to Randy Moss, Terrell Owens, other problematic, mercurial, selfish wide receivers. Guess what? Randy Moss and Terrell Owens aren't stupid people. They might have been egomaniacs. They might have been narcissists. They might have been combative. You watch Randy Moss on Sundays. He's a bright guy. He's smart. Terrell Owens, pretty smart. Vindictive, petulant, narcissistic, delusional. But listen to him speak. Pretty smart guy. Antonio Brown, not. AB has this toxic combination of lack of impulse control, violent tendencies, self-destructive nature, narcissism, delusion, maybe CTE, maybe mental illness. And this is a frightening combination. He couldn't make it more than a week in New England without doing the dumbest thing ever. The only thing you can't do is threaten one of your accusers over text. Because then she has the evidence. I mean, to do it over text and to bring in your boys on a group chat to do so. I mean, you're like, who dreamt this one up? He'll actually be offered another NFL job, which is a shame. But does he ever play in the NFL again? Not for a full season. Not for a full season. He's too far gone. He might get a job, play for a couple of games, but you'll never see Antonio Brown the way Antonio Brown used to be. And I do believe it's getting worse. I do believe his mental instability is getting worse by the year, and that is why I think it went worse over time in Pittsburgh and now has completely unraveled with Oakland, New England, and now as a free agent. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Hit us on Twitter as well, DA on CBS. Matt tweets, DA, Baker Mayfield needs to step up in the pocket once in a while instead of constantly scrambling out of the right. He doesn't need to do it nearly as often as he does. Baker has not been nearly as confident this year as he was last year. That's a little bit of a worry, because working with Freddie Kitchens in year number two in this offense and year number two as a starter, Baker should look more comfortable in these situations, and he doesn't. He ends up looking less comfortable, and some of that's on Baker. Some of that's on the offensive line. Some of that might be on the pressure of having to win. Last year, he was just balling. Now they're supposed to be a playoff team. Some of it might be distractions. He did every photo shoot possible in the offseason. He's in tons of commercials. You see him every single Sunday, every single day of the week. And some of that is on Freddie Kitchens. Those guys were not ready for this type of expectation and pressure, and Freddie having to be a head coach and a play caller. Evan tweets, but DA, Michigan made a cool documentary and went on a bunch of awesome trips. How are they not good? Harbaugh knows how to gain attention. Throw a football around the Vatican. Let's take trips to European countries. I'm going to camp out in a treehouse with one of my recruits. I'm going to sleep on a couch of one of these recruits. I'm going to say this funny thing, do that viral thing. He knows how to get attention. What he's lost is the ability to coach. Saturday was one of the worst coach teams I've ever seen. Not just at Michigan, ever. Rob in the 321 tweets, as a man who grew up in a Wolverine house, we're at a crossroads with this team. We haven't really recovered from the Rich Rod era. Harbaugh is staying, though, unless Ward Manuel gets fired and takes him also. And that's the thing. Within that administration, the buyout's getting less, but are there better options that they think they can get? Kaz and Wisco tweets, now wait a minute.
Now wait a minute.
Mraz isn't singing Gloria and proclaiming that the Giants are Super Bowl bound after Danny Dimes' first start? You're at least thinking playoffs, though, right?
I'm not even. No.
Really?
No, I do think...
That's very level-headed of you.
No, I know. I'm being very even about this. I think the probability is there that they're likely going to be in a Super Bowl in the next 4 years. I just think this year I'm going to allow him to make his rookie mistakes. Next year we load up, and maybe next year's the year.
So next year is Super Bowl.
Yeah, at the very least, playoffs.
Very least.
So it's 2019. I would say by 2022, if they're not in a Super Bowl, something's gone awry.
So 3 years from now.
19, 20, 21, within the next 4 years.
Oh, 4 years, okay.
During Daniel Jones' rookie contract, the Giants will be in a Super Bowl. It won't be this year, but it'll happen.
Do you think that happens before or after LeBron is the Terminator?
Probably around the same time.
Okay.
I could see them start filming that during that Giant run.
Okay. So they're filming the newest Terminator with LeBron as the Terminator during the Giants' Super Bowl run with Daniel Jones.
Right. And then when we look back at that Super Bowl run 20 years ago, the Giants made the Super Bowl. That year, the number one box office hit was Terminator with LeBron James. Like, we're going to play that game.
Okay. Got it.
Yeah. The hit was, you know, some old lady song by Taylor Swift, because now she's aged out. You know?
Uh-huh. She's aged out.
Right.
She'd probably be like, what, 34 or something at that point in time.
Look. Really? No, Taylor's got to be like 32 already.
I think she's only turned 30 recently.
She's had a long career.
She has.
Wow. Came out right out of high school, you know? That's what they say.
That's exactly right, yeah. Yeah, like Zion. She was in our living rooms very early. When we come back here on the show, Will Brinson's going to join us, CBS Sports senior NFL writer on all things week 3 of the NFL. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Are the glitch in the simulation.
You are a giant pile of trash.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, I take offense to that, Will Brinson. Welcome back. DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. Watch the show at watchda.com. Available anywhere on any device every single day. The Wizard of WatchDA.com. Pulling levers, pushing buttons. Andrew Kaplan in the back of the simulcast, looking slick as usual. Because we're a full-service CBS Sports Radio show. Taylor Swift, 29 years old, will turn 30 in December and will actually open up the Rams' new stadium next summer. That'll be the first musical act at the brand-new Rams Stadium in Los Angeles next summer.
How about that?
How about that?
Huh!
So much to get into here on week number 3 of the NFL season. So joining us to do all of that, a man who will live up to the task. His name is Will Brinson, senior NFL writer, CBSSports.com, and I'm sure a beloved Swiftie himself. Good morning, Will.
What's up, DA? How you doing, buddy?
I'm good. How you doing?
I can't complain. I get down to Taylor Swift, but I'm not a huge, I don't know if I'd call myself a Swiftie, but I get down. I'll listen. I'm not necessarily seeking it out.
I see. Okay. How much of the Browns' problems do you blame on Freddie Kitchens?
Pretty good amount. I think when you look at this Cleveland team, what you see is a club that is dealing with the exact problems that we sort of detailed before the season, where, you know, everybody's like, oh, well, you know, the Browns are going to be great. They're going to win the Super Bowl. This team can, shrug off the long history of the Cleveland Browns. It's like, well, it's not really about that. Here's the problem, guys. It's that they don't have a good offensive line, and they have a first-year head coach who's also going to be calling plays and may or may not end up somewhat overwhelmed and, you know, having to deal with all these personalities. I mean, this is a – they have more penalties. This team had more penalties in the first quarter last night than the Dolphins have points this year. And that's not a compliment to the Dolphins. they're not a disciplined football team. They're not making smart decisions in the red zone. We saw that, you know, they got first down inside the five. They didn't run the ball once with Nick Chubb. I mean, you got to try and, you know, at least keep the Rams honest there, pound the ball there. They didn't run the ball at all. I don't think that Freddie Kitchens necessarily knew that it was 4th and 9 when he ran that draw near midfield. That should have certainly not been a turnover on down situation, or at least you put the ball in Baker's hands. Baker Mayfield, I don't want to say he's regressing, but he's jumping out of clean pockets. He's rolling to the right too much. He's not trusting his pocket, and he's not playing well against good defenses. And I would be very worried if I was a Browns fan that this is what the team is and not a Super Bowl hopeful that you thought you were going to get.
Out of these two undefeated teams, who do you think is a more legitimate threat for the playoffs, the Bills or the Lions?
Yes, I think both are.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I think both are. I think both have pretty good defenses. I would take the Bills over the Lions just because, A, I think the division is easier, not net easier. The Patriots are there, obviously, but there's, you know, I think there's four teams that are viable playoff contenders in the NFC North. And so somebody has to miss out, right? I mean, ipso facto, at least with the Bills, it looks like the Jets are going to be bad and the Dolphins are probably the worst team in football. So while the Bills probably aren't going to catch the Patriots and they play them this week and they're 7.5-point dogs, they can at least make a run at a wild card. I think the Lions can be a really good football team and still miss out on the playoffs because, you know, the Vikings are good and the Bears are good and the Packers are good. So that would be my argument for the Bills. But I think both teams are pretty good. I mean, you know, the Lions should be 3-0, and you could argue they could have easily lost in week 2. I get it, but they definitely should have won in week 1. You know, they've taken care of business. They look like they want to gag away games late, but they have a good defense. They have a pretty good running game. Matthew Stafford looks healthy. Kenny Galladay playing really well. And then with the Bills, I mean, Sean McDermott's just a good coach. I know that people like to dump on him for the, you know, the whole Nathan Peterman thing, and I get it. But this guy gets more out of his teams. I mean, he wins games. He wins closer games. He finds ways to squeeze wins out. Josh Allen is playing pretty well. They got enough weapons. They're not like the sexiest weapons in the world, like John Brown and Cole Beasley and Frank Gore, but they're getting the job done. And the defense is a really stout unit. So I'm buying the Bills as a playoff team.
Will Brinson joins us, senior NFL writer, CBSSports.com. How could the Broncos organization be built on defense, have a defensive head coach, and be so bad on defense? How is this possible?
Yeah, it's really annoying. I don't really know exactly what's happening. They don't have a single sack.
Yeah.
3 weeks into the season, they have a single sack, and they played the Raiders. I mean, I get it. You played Aaron Rodgers. Maybe you didn't sack him, but you played Derek Carr and Mitchell Trubisky. It's brutal. I would anticipate that number goes up in the next 2 weeks, 2 or 3 weeks. I mean, we saw the, you know, the Jaguars are okay on the line, but, you know, Gardner Minshew's good, but I think they can get to him. Phillip Rivers can be sacked, and Marcus Mariota too. But yeah, I mean, this is a, you know, they didn't really come close to beating the Packers. Like that, like I get it. You could argue that they could have been 2-0 heading to Green Bay, and two of their first 3 games have been on the road, so you got to cut them a little bit of slack. But the Chargers, Titans, and Chiefs coming up, as well as the Jaguars, Chargers, Titans, Chiefs, Colts, Browns. That's not an easy slate of games. I mean, that's 6 games where they're going to decide the fate of this team for this season, and whether or not, you know, Joe Flacco was a good trade and whether or not Vic Fangio was a good hire. I mean, it seems simplistic to say, but when you got the Vikings and Bills on the road out of the bye, it just doesn't get any easier. I mean, it's going to be a tough schedule. The Broncos don't look like an offense that can overcome defensive weaknesses, and the defense doesn't look like it can get after anybody right now. So, it's a major red flag. They needed to come out, you know, guns blazing defensively to try and compete in what is obviously going to be a very difficult division. I know the Chargers find ways to lose games in September. I think they'll turn it around eventually. The Chiefs are going to look like they're going to waltz to that division. So for Denver to be anything resembling a playoff contender, that defense has to start getting better. And I honestly don't know why they're not as good. Vic Fangio's hire, to me, screamed elite defense, and it has not been the case, D.A.
I can't, in good conscience, ever say that a Steelers coach is on the hot seat because they change coaches so rarely. But for Mike Tomlin to lose that game yesterday when the 49ers gave five turnovers away. Do you think that speaks to the coaching of the Steelers?
Yeah, I mean, I think it is. Look, they have had, I mean, it's ridiculous, right? Like, they've had three coaches since 1969. I mean, that's insane. Like, that is, it's absolutely insane that they've had three coaches since, like, I don't think that they would fire him after this year. And maybe I'm wrong. Losing Big Ben for the season, when you lose a Hall of Fame quarterback and you lose a starting franchise quarterback, as an ownership group, when you pride yourself on being patient and you believe Mike Tomlin is the guy and he's won a Super Bowl for you and he's never been under 500, you know, you're going to tend, I think, to talk yourself into being patient and into waiting for another year. Additionally, you know, I don't, and this is such a long way off, but we can't anticipate that, you know, there's going to be, you know, like Lincoln Riley is just magically going to be available. And so I don't think the Steelers – I think this is the season that gets Mike Tomlin on the hot seat heading into the next year. If they finish with a top 10 pick and they have to hand that draft pick over, the Minkah Fitzpatrick pick, to the Dolphins, and it's a top 5 or top 10 pick, you know, that's going to reflect poorly on them. Mason Rudolph didn't look great in that game. He had, you know, two throws more than 20 yards down the field. They were both touchdowns, but one was on Yak from Juju, and the other was on Deontay Johnson on busted coverage by Jason Verrett. So, yeah, I mean, I think this is a season where if this whole team looks sloppy and they're getting beat up week to week, it's going to be a situation where he is absolutely on the hot seat heading into next year. And with Big Ben coming back, presumably, you know, it's one of those things where you take a holistic look at everything that's going on with that organization heading into, you know, what could be the final window of a franchise quarterback's career.
Will Brinson joins us, senior NFL writer for CBSSports.com. You're based in North Carolina, and I don't think anybody saw the Panthers doing that. I know nobody saw Kyle Allen throwing for four touchdowns yesterday and the Panthers putting up 38 points in the desert. Did the Panthers find something with Cam Newton actually being injured?
I think they might have. You know, look, let's bear in mind this is a premium juice game for Kyle Allen. He's from Scottsdale, Arizona. You know, he's the homecoming situation. He was teammates at Texas A&M with Kyler Murray. And if you read between the lines, you could tell those two dudes didn't really like each other in college. So it is entirely possible that he was real gassed up for this game. Really, you know, like it meant a lot to him. And I think he came out and performed as such. So I don't want to say that the Panthers are safe now or in a good spot now. But I think at the very least, Kyle Allen, given what we saw against the Cardinals on Sunday, gives them the freedom when you look at their schedule, and it's not up against, they don't have easy defenses on the schedule, but they have these three more games, right, until their week 7 bye. They get the Texans on the road next week, the Jaguars at home, and at the Buccaneers, which is at, but it's in London, and then they have a week 7 bye. I think it would be, I'm not going to say malpractice, we don't know where Cam is, but it would be silly to even consider bringing Cam back before that London game. Give yourself a month. Let him get healthy. Let Kyle Allen play. See what you got. I mean, Cam couldn't hit the broadside of a barn against the Buccaneers last Thursday. Kyle Allen comes in, and it's not like, I mean, he played really well. He's mobile. He can get out of jams. He's accurate. That's the key thing, is he can hit open receivers, and Norv Turner is scheming guys open. And so I firmly believe that the Panthers will be smart about this, that they will rest Cam Newton as much as they can. They will use Kyle Allen. And if they can win two or three of these next three games, all of a sudden they're just right back in the mix in the NFC South. And who knows? Maybe Kyle Allen plays so well that the Panthers are like, look, Cam, sit and get healthy and keep resting. I mean, the further along, the more games you can win in this early part of the season before we get to November. And the more you can stay in that race and the longer you can push back Cam Newton having to return, the better off you're setting yourself up for the long haul in terms of making decisions with respect to your franchise quarterback.
Final question, about 30 seconds. Which 1 and 2 is scarier, the Eagles or the Falcons?
Oh, I'm so glad you actually gave me two teams to pick from. I was like, oh, man, I got this 1 and 2, D.A.
Come I wouldn't
on.
Do that.
No, I'm just kidding. Definitely the Eagles. I think the Keanu Neal looks like he could be done for the season. He left with an Achilles injury. Remember, their defense was already bad in the first place. When he went down last year, when he and Deion Jones went down, that defense really cratered. And so they were banking on health on the defensive side of the ball. It is a star-studded roster, but they don't have a ton of depth. And, if Matt Ryan's leading 3 straight drives in the second half for touchdowns and you're still losing, you got problems. And so I am not buying the Atlanta Falcons quite yet.
Okay. Will Brinson joins us this morning here on the show. Now, for Will, there's a million different places that you can read him and hear him. CBSSports.com is senior NFL writer, but also CBS's Pick 6 podcast. Listen to that daily Pick 6 podcast, where the guys from CBS Sports break down everything NFL every single day. And I'm sure the fresh one is either up or going up, right?
We have 8 shows now that we put up between Monday and Friday, D.A. I'm dead serious. We have 8 shows. So if you like daily dose of NFL talk with a ton of mirth, we have one that just went up that will preview Monday Night Football with Jared Dubin. Then we talked to Jason Lockenfora. And then we'll have a recap of Monday Night Football that goes up first thing tomorrow morning.
It's mirth heavy with Will.
So jammed with mirth.
Thanks for doing it, Will. Appreciate it, man.
Got it. You got it, buddy. See ya.
Will Brinson joining us this morning here on the show. When we come back, we've got your cut line, the stories that did not make the cut. DA, CBS Sports Radio, plus your epic fail and a little bit of show news. Good show news to unveil coming up here next. DA, CBS Sports Radio. And
little wet, little drippy, 24/7.
Catastrophic? Something? You said cats and lismic. Whatever word that is, it's not happening. Can you say the word real quick before you post it?
Cataclysmic.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
You know how many different ways you can listen to the DA show? Well, I shall list them for you. You can listen to us across the great CBS Sports Radio network on all of our terrestrial affiliates. You can also listen to us on SiriusXM, Channel 206. Channel 206 every single day. Also on your phone, just punch us up using the CBS Sports app or radio.com. People seem to really like the radio.com app because it has podcast full episodes of the show archived, and then also the live show. And then also Apple Music works as well. Or you can go to your computer and simply watch us, or on your phone you can watch us at watchda.com. You know, the show news, I have never been as surprised to a news on the show. I want to be respectful of the bosses, and so I don't want to say something out of turn here, but in the ensuing days or weeks, certainly in the next few weeks, probably sometime the next few days, we will be able to officially announce that there will be more of something that you like here on CBS Sports Radio.
The most stunned I have ever been on the show to a news.
And it directly correlates to the DA show, that there is something that you like here on the show, seemingly, shockingly, and that thing, that thing, that salt of sodium, or that thing, is going to have more. You'll be able to consume it more.
If you don't like the smell of bacon in your house, there's something wrong with you.
Okay. So there's going to be more of something that we think that you like.
You want a piece of my jewel? Too cool with the jewel?
So I think it's going to be exciting for everybody. I know it's exciting for us here on the show.
Huh?
We all root for one another. We all support one another when we are not tearing each other down, making fun of one another. And we are very...
Suck down this hot dog.
When we're not infighting and making fun at one another and tearing each other down, sometimes, shockingly, we root for one another.
They wear shoes. Those are for hooves.
So, when I'm allowed to fully announce it, I will. But I think you'll be happy with something that's coming up in the near future here on CBS Sports Radio, apparently as early as sometime next month. But
the Trojan horse is like a play on words.
Okay, it's time for your Ask the Pros question of the day, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Think O'Reilly for all of your car care needs. Guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. This is from John, who's in Los Angeles, who says, DA, you usually criticize Chip Kelly, but after you saw what he did on Saturday, are you finally starting to come around that he was the right hire for the Bruins? Well, I never said he was the wrong hire for the Bruins, John. I never said that he was the wrong guy. I understood why they made that move. He was supposed to give a jolt, some juice, to a program which had fallen into irrelevancy. And it's, for those that remember, like UCLA in the 60s, 70s, and 80s, it's pretty crazy that UCLA has fallen so far behind USC in that town. It used to be 1 and 1A, and now it's USC, and UCLA doesn't even matter anymore. So I understood why they hired him. What I didn't understand was why Chip Kelly seemingly was keeping his offensive secrets close to the vest. And we're not going to run the blur. I never said we were going to. We're trying to win games now. That was 2014. And it's been really underwhelming. I mean, he's been really bad at that job. Saturday's crazy game against Washington State might have been the coming out party, and I hope that it is, because college football is better when Chip Kelly has an explosive offense, and the Pac-12 is better when at least one of the teams in Los Angeles is interesting. By the way, our toll-free line brought to you by Geico. Great news. Quick way you could save money switching to Geico. Geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Time for your cut line.
These stories were left out by the selection committee. Cut from their high school team. The news that didn't make the show. It's the cut line.
Patrick Mahomes doing what Patrick Mahomes does yesterday in the rain on a slick turf at Arrowhead Stadium. And it was a fun game back and forth, especially at the end as the Chiefs needed to drain clock and not give the ball back to the Baltimore Ravens. And people saying Mahomes versus Lamar Jackson, Lamar Jackson versus Mahomes. The problem that with that, though, is Patrick Mahomes is a finished product. And Lamar Jackson's clearly not. And while Lamar does some fun things, yesterday he threw two prayers up there, one on fourth and long, one on third and long. They were both completed because of broken, terrible coverage downfield by the Chiefs and bad defensive play by the DBs. That should not have been that close. Those were two drives extended by miracle throws off the back foot, closing your eyes and heaving it by Lamar Jackson. And this is not a critique of Lamar Jackson, but yesterday's 33-28 win by the Chiefs was not indicative of where the two franchises are. One is a Super Bowl contender. One is not. One is up there with the best team of the NFL. One is not. One quarterback is a finished product. One is not. The Ravens might get there. Lamar Jackson has been really exciting and really cool to watch. But yesterday, when you look at that final score, that was a great quarterback play from Lamar Jackson, keeping them in that game. That was a couple of lollipops that landed in the right set of hands on miracle throws.
So sorry, you've been cut.
Thank you. Goodbye.
Guess what happens when the NFL tells its officials to officiate differently? It happens. Through the first 2 weeks of the NFL season, there was a crazy rate of nearly 6 holding penalties per game. In the first 33 games of the season, there was nearly 6 holding penalties per game. Yesterday, there's an average of 3. It dropped in half from 6 to 3. As the NFL told its referees, quit with the holdings. And this was a huge thing on Thursday in the Titans and Jags game. They brought it up a million times. Tom Brady said, stop throwing the flags. Let us play. I'm not watching this game anymore. The NFL clearly got the message and told Al Riveron and the rest of the referees, this is the way that it's going to be. We don't want the flags. And that makes sense. Look, if you want to protect the quarterback, then don't throw a holding penalty on anything if you really want to do it. But also, nobody comes to the NFL to watch great offensive line play. They just don't. So if there's going to be a hold here or a hold there, you kind of have to let it go. Because in the grand scheme of things, the flow of the game is far more important than making sure that, and this is not great for pass rushers, but then making sure that every holding penalty is thrown. Because the old adage is, as you know, you could call holding on every play if you wanted to.
So sorry, you've been cut.
Thank you. Goodbye.
And by God, Adam Gase. I thought he was supposed to be an offensive guy. What's the worst part about the New York Jets through 3 weeks? The offense. Do you realize that the Jets' defense has scored more points than the offense? Do you realize the special teams has scored more points than the offense? That the offense has scored two touchdowns, two, through three games of the season. And on Sunday against the Patriots, the Jets averaged 2.2 yards a play. Didn't convert a first down in 12 tries. 0 for 12 getting first downs. Their scores came on a defensive pick six and a special teams fumble recovery. Adam Crazy Eyes Gase is looking like a dopier hire by the day.
So sorry, you've been cut.
Thank you. Goodbye.
All right, that is your cut line. Let's get to your epic fail. And out of everything we saw on Sunday in the NFL, clearly Bill Belichick trying to death stare down Dana Jacobson for a very respectfully asked question about Antonio Brown, he is your fail.
Even the DA show is not perfect. We know. Shocking. Here's the epic fail.
But when he storms out of the press conference last week because he refuses to answer questions about Antonio Brown, it is hysterically, hysterically ironic. Here is a man that teaches his guys accountability.
Well, we did some good things.
Quote, do your job. In Patriots land, it's do your job. Guess what part of the job is? Weekly press conferences.
Yeah, I'm good. Okay. Thank you.
That is in your contract. Coaches can't not do press conferences. They can't not do press availabilities.
I think I've already addressed this, so.
You're forced to. You have to. That is part of the job requirement to be an NFL head coach.
I think I'd be remiss if I didn't ask, what was the final straw with Antonio Brown?
Yeah, we're focused on the Jets today.
Thank you, Coach.
Every NFL head coach signs an NFL commission contract that requires press availability. So when he storms out, that's actually his job. Do your job.
Rest of it, I'm done with the rest of it.
Because as you see, they are not actually really decent human beings. They are just soldiers of fortune, robots without much soul or heart or integrity.
Happy to answer any football questions.
Because here is Dana Jacobson doing her job. Quote, do your job. That is her job.
I think I'd be remiss if I didn't ask, what was the final straw with Antonio Brown?
And you want to intimidate her as though she had somehow done the worst thing ever.
Yeah, we're focused on the Jets today.
Thank you, Coach.
Bill Belichick is a pathetic, petulant child, but he can coach football.
Epic fail, you loser.
That is why you fail.
Epic fail.
I can't wait until one day when Bill actually loses six games a year, eight games a year. How does he deal with that? Now it's beautiful. You're 3-0. Soaring. Not a problem in the world. What happens when you actually have to deal with losses piling up in sub-500 seasons? Or is he going to be smart enough to get out before then? By the way, are the two worst teams in the NFL actually in the AFC East? The Patriots get two games against the Dolphins and two games against the Jets. Why not schedule Louisiana Monroe and Georgia Southern while we're at it? That is four games two of them already in the first 3 weeks where you actually don't even have to game plan. You just show up on Sunday and know you'll win by 28 points. As we like to say around here, must be nice. Must be nice to just show up and be, oh, in my division again. Oh, look at this. The AFC East again for the 20th straight year has dog food that we get to play four times. Oh, but the Patriots have the same win percentage against the rest of the NFL, DA. We're so good against everybody. You don't think it helps that two out of your first three games this season were against historically the worst team in NFL history and Luke Falk and the Jets, who averaged 2 yards a play? Oh, it helps. Thanks to Sean Mraz, executive producer of the DA Show. Thanks to Pete the Body Bilotti on the Wheels of Steel. Thanks to Andrew Kaplan, the Wizard of Watch DA. And thanks to Brad Heller on your headlines. Tomorrow, Trash Tuesday. So be here. The Mothership disconnects.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.